lives now.
Capital 263.
What up, what up? How you doing? Welcome to Nana and the other guys. I'm figuring out adulthood in 30 or so minutes. I'm going to say again, this is usually not true because adulthood is more than 30 or so minutes. And I was about to say something really inappropriate about stuff that should not last for 30 or so minutes. And then I realized that I am a born-again Christian and a Sunday school teacher. And that wouldn't be great. So, instead, I am going to introduce to you like one of my most favorite people. Now, this dude, I met him online, I think through a friend, and he argues about just about anything. So much so that the first time we actually met in person, I went to Skies, Bulawayo, the city of my birth, probably the best city in the world. His friend said, if this guy was in an argument about should we choose red or white, he would probably argue that, you know what, color is a social construct anyway. So that's just how bad this guy is. I want to welcome you guys to a person who I hope will be a regular on the show, Mr. Official Mabena. Yo, man, it's been a while.
Oh, thank you.
How
very
are you doing?
Much, dude.
For the second time. I'm talking about.
You should always introduce me anyway. Like when I meet a girl. Mm-hmm. I should call you up. I'm like, oh, nah, can you introduce me?
I don't know why.
Really nice.
I don't know why you have not let me do that for you. Because you're single. Because
really
you don't
nice.
Involve.
Thank you very much.
Oh, my
wait,
gosh.
Wait, I'm what?
I don't know. I actually don't know. Maybe I put you out there. I don't know.
Relationships are a social construct.
Oh, my God. Here we go. Here we go. And I'd like to say, like, on the list of things that he is a great debater. He is a great... I don't want to call you, because I think if you're a person who is... A lay person who call you a person who designs websites, but I feel like that doesn't describe everything that you do. You give a company character online by giving them the breast shame. Yo, it's
the breast,
I'm a company.
Wow.
Giving companies, you know what I mean? Like you give them second base. Ha. So.
Oh, whoa, whoa.
Hey, roll with it. He's a web designer, gives you some of the business, and he is also an editor. I've got a signed copy of an anthology of short stories that he edited. And there was a story about this really poor boy who grew up in the rural area. And every time I hear it, I'm thinking, I wonder if this is Mtogo. Like, I wonder if this is a story about Mtogo.
but that's me. Yeah. I should write an autobiography soon.
You should write an autobiography soon. Anyway, so like let's pause that introduction there, and I want to welcome to you our relationship expert who isn't writing on relationships anymore ever since.
Oh wow!
Yeah, like I really want to clown her, but I don't know if I can clown her anymore about this. Like, the last time I tried doing this, she gave me the eye. Like, don't you dare! So I wonder if this is a safe. Miri, is this a safe space?
It's a safe space, nice.
Ever since Miriam got married, she has not written a relationship blog. She's like Mary J. Blige when she's happy, right? Like, when Mary J. Blige is happy,
like Adele,
music sucks. Exactly. She's the Adele of blogs.
No, do you know what? I actually stopped writing my blog probably before I was even engaged. Because my life just started getting really busy and hectic, and then, but I have been considering getting back to writing again. So you might see something before the end of the year. Just a heads up.
Before the end of the year, she says. Like, this girl used to be, this girl is an award-winning blogger. I need you to know this. She's an award-winning blogger, right? Like, she used to blog weekly, even twice sometimes if we're lucky. Gets a ring on her finger, over. Done. No longer. No more blogs. You know what I mean? But shout out to a hubby. A hubby is a great friend of mine now. Like, we're actually cool. I think I talk to him more than I talk to Miri, to be quite honest. And I actually like that. Yeah, nah. I like the homie more than I like you, to be honest. Great choice.
good.
And so, Miriam, how have you been doing? You good?
I've been great, eh? Yeah. I've been pretty awesome. Like, tomorrow's my birthday.
Oh, my God.
So
that's no longer our problem. Hey, that's your husband's problem. No longer ours. Hey.
No, it's not even like I'm not even soliciting for gifts or anything. It's just something that I've been like super excited about for the longest because like it's the big 3-0 and it's like, you know, I've obviously experienced my life through my eyes, and I've seen like the growth through the years and everything. So it's, yeah, it's quite something for me this year. So yeah, I just might slip that in. I'm not expecting any presents from anyone.
No, you can always make yourselves. Cupcakes,
eh? Yeah, I actually want to make myself some cheesecake. I'll probably make it on Tuesday because apparently my husband got me a cake for tomorrow. So
wait, does he know that? Does he know that you know that he got a cake?
Yeah, he had to tell me because I was like, I want to bake a cheesecake for my birthday. Then he's like, no, like you can't bake a cheesecake because there's a cake already. And I was like, oh yay. Thank you. I love cake that I haven't baked because I bake cake all the time, and it's nice to taste cake that I haven't baked.
I'm not gonna lie. I think cheesecake is trash. I'm just honest with you. Like,
wow.
You still enjoy cake though? Wow.
I'm sorry.
I was gonna say something. But then it was going to defeat the whole purpose of the 30-second discussion that we're gonna have.
Okay.
It's fine. Like,
Mary, do you still enjoy cake though? Because I have a friend of mine who is a locusa, so and I asked her, do you still enjoy it? And she was like, nah.
No, to be honest.
She's an ice cream maker, by the way.
Mm. Oh, that's nice.
Go.
I was saying I don't really like cake that much. I mean, obviously, there are days when I do look forward to it, but it's like one out of every 20 days. So yeah, I'm over cake, but I appreciate cake that has been baked by someone else. That's why I'm excited about tomorrow.
Well, good for you. Good for you, Miriam. Let's make this episode good for our audience, and then gosh, this is not coronavirus, I swear. Let us get to about a week ago, people. All right, let's get to about a week ago. Okay.
About a week ago, week ago.
About a week ago.
Yeah, recording in progress. Catch all of about a week ago. Yeah, there was a background conversation about a week ago. I had to stop these guys because you're making fun of me. About a week ago. Okay, so we're gonna do about 2 weeks ago because you guys are probably seeing a whole episode that is gonna be like 2 weeks behind that just was uploaded now called Masalad are not rorekable. Which I don't know because Miriam is a Masalad and she got married, so I guess it's kind of defeats the purpose. But anyway, about a week ago, I don't know where we want to start. We want to start with what's happening in South Africa now. If you don't know, you are not living on this earth. You must know. Togo, why don't you just break down the story? What's going on in South Africa?
Well, I think what's happening in South Africa is misunderstood on social media. So maybe you should give the background and then I give the truth.
Okay. Oh, wow. Okay. So you have got Jacob Zuma, who is the former president of South Africa, who was implicated in a bunch of criminal accusation. He was accused of certain things, and I think he was supposed to go to court, and then he refused, and so therefore that's being held in contempt of court, and then he was sentenced to prison. And when he was sentenced to prison, a section of people within South Africa got angry, and then you started seeing protests, and then you started seeing looting and violence, and I think I would describe it as total, you know, see, anarchy. Miriam, help me.
Wow, anarchy.
Anarchy, there we go. Anarchy, all right.
For a second, it sounded like you're gonna say something that's really, really wrong.
I'm not gonna say Anansi the spider, no. I'm not gonna say Uranus or anything. We're not in space, all right. I'm gonna say anarchy, all right. Anarchy, there was anarchy. Now, I want to say, because I'm Zimbabwean and everyone in this conversation is Zimbabwean, we cannot and obviously should not say this as if we give opinions on this as if everything we are feeling here is coming from a first-hand perspective. I had a phone call with my friend in who is South African.
Really, technical, I'm
Nah. It's like saying I'm from Malawi, I'm taking Ndebele. Like, you know what I mean? It's like, it's not the same though. You know what I mean? Although I kind of feel like I should be, like, you know, a bit. But I will say,
technically,
you know. So there was a very big argument. There was lots of looting, lots of violence, and then some lives have been lost. We've seen gunshots, we've seen shopping malls looted, people stealing fridges, people stealing anything that can be stolen. And then this obviously turned into a race thing where, because obviously some of the white and Indian parts of the KZN, I think Gauteng, own some of the businesses, and then black people come through. And you can totally see that a lot of this anger is being expressed as racial or tribalistic, but there's a whole big issue outside of that. Now, the question that I did have for this podcast is, on one end, you've got people saying, this was to be expected because the government of South Africa is not doing stuff to serve the citizenry, so therefore they are, you get what you deserve, government. What did you expect, right? And then you've also got the government saying, you know what, just because you guys are unhappy does not give you the right to riot. Now, the question I have for you guys is the suffering of the people, of any people, a justifiable reason for people to do what has been happening in South Africa? And I'm saying, let's be very careful because we're not South African, so we might not know the whole context. I reached out to my South African friend. She told me what she felt, and I really understood it. But I want you guys, from a Zimbabwean perspective, because I think this is a very open question. I think you've understood the question, guys. This is when you come in and answer. I don't know what's
going
on. Okay. Come through first, Mary. Yeah.
Well, long and short of it, I think no. The answer is no. I don't think it's justifiable that people are suffering and they, like, that losing should justify. Oh gosh, I'm getting this mixed up. Okay. I don't think that if someone is saying that they're suffering, that they need to loot. Because before all this happened, like a couple of weeks ago, no one was looting because they're poor, right? Mm-hmm. Like no one was going to see. Obviously, there are some people who have always just been stealing stuff. But like generally, people don't go and steal 54-inch TVs because they say they're poor, right? Mm-hmm. It was just an opportunity to steal. And people took that opportunity from all walks of life. Because remember, the people that you're seeing in the videos weren't just like poor people. They're also people with like huge ass cars who were stealing all this stuff as well. And they used that as an opportunity. And I don't think Kuti, no, Inina, I'm poor and, you know, I don't have anything or whatever justifies going and looting stuff. Because at the end of the day, it's just being just wrong. Stealing is wrong. Lawfully and ethically, so I don't think that was a good thing.
But I will say, and maybe Mtokozi, you can try and help me answer this question as a follow up. Why does it seem as if the only time governments understand their people is when they rebel or act out in this specific way? Wouldn't that then be a good reason why that rioting and looting should happen? I'm not saying it's a good thing, but a good reason why. Because it seems like sometimes these governments don't listen to people when they're peacefully protesting. So I don't know what you think.
The problem is, I think the context of the conversation is, so two things. First, I think it was not ideal for people to loot. Secondly, I think poverty should be acknowledged. So we should not say that people are not poor because they're looting expensive things. I think poor people don't have these in the first place. So they'll loot whatever they have in that very instance. No one has a plan to say, let me go loot Fred because I'm hungry. It's because there's a difference between hunger and poverty. I don't know which one is more severe. Developmentalists have these terms, but let me speak a layman's terms. When someone is hungry for now, let's say you are hungry now because you haven't eaten supper, it's different from being poor. If you are hungry now, you haven't eaten supper, that's why you can say you should have looted bread. But if you are poor, a TV is a better loot than bread because you know that you can always sell off the TV and get money, or at least now you have a TV. Like, you wouldn't have gotten this TV in any time in your life. So this is a better option to loot. So my point is, you cannot say the item in which is looted is a measure in which whether people are hungry or not. Let's agree that people are hungry. Then on the second context is, it's very weird that people would defend someone who looted millions and millions of money in government, and then they want to defend the person by looting. There is no defensible argument why Jacob Zuma should be protested and not going to jail. So, because there is really no defensible argument. A, So the defense in terms of Jacob Zuma, we always get, so their first argument is Jacob Zuma is old, but so he stole things after he was old, so he deserved jail time. That's not an argument. Second is that he never stood trial because the if you contempt of court, you need to have a trial to prove that you were not in contempt of court or something like that. And the other thing was like that the sentence was too severe. Those last two arguments. Number one, Jacob Zuma was asked to come on trial time and time again, and Jacob Zuma refused to go on trial. So therefore, the court had to make a decision in absentia. Secondly, Jacob Zuma was asked by the court, what do you think should be done to you on your contempt in the final judgment? The prosecutor was like, can you tell us the sentence that is befitting you so that we can act on it? Jacob Zuma said, I will not help a court decide its own matters. So my point is like, Jacob Zuma was supposed to go in jail in whatever fashion. So then your last question on I to say, whoa, what is, so this is the language that the government understands. I feel like the government understands a lot of languages. The government understands elections. This is why you see even an inefficient government will go to the deepest, the darkest of holes in their country to just deliver an election message where they will never go to deliver medicine. So my point is like the government understands other forms of language other than protest. So you cannot say that the protest is justified because it's the only language that is understood by the government. Over and out.
You definitely are a debater at heart, because it's like, what else can I say? I forget that this guy is a debater, and it's like, yeah. But to me, right? Like, cause
right, but
go.
Oh, okay. No, I was gonna say that. I mean, obviously, the beginning started as a protest that Jacob Zuma went into jail, and I feel like that was sort of a scapegoat for people to then just start looting stuff. I feel like there was some sort of, I think the looting and whatnot was more of diversion from the whole Jacob Zuma thing, but also at the same, it was also maybe a display of power and influence that he has in some twisted way. Like I'm still trying to find a way of trying to articulate it, but yeah, there's some strange power dynamic in Jacob Zuma and Cyril, and yeah,
First time I'm getting this insight. This is very insightful. So no. I think that was the whole point, to demonstrate the power Jacob Zuma has, because it ended up becoming an issue of the actual tribal ethnical issues to say this tribe versus this tribe. So it was more of a display of power to say, if you do this to us, we're going to do this to you, and it got devolved from the actual thing, I think.
No, because both of us are all three of us are Zimbabweans who understand what it is to be poor, to not have. What do you tell the disenfranchised South African young person right now? Like, how do you support the looters? How do you even go ahead when you are either being accused of you are a Zulu tribalist and you've got now like Zulu nationalism? Like, oh my gosh, look at us throwing all these big words, right? Where do young people who are in South Africa put their headspace now? From people who are just looking out from the in. You know, many times, remember how sometimes South Africans, you'd be like, oh my gosh, Mugabe rocks, right? And we're like, all right. So, but if we're given that opportunity to speak back, because I say this because whatever happens in South Africa affects us as well. And I care about my friends in South Africa. I care about my relatives in South Africa, right? But what do you say to the South African young person now? Well, how do we, because I feel like we've been here before somehow. What do we say? How do we give them rational advice so that they're not emotional about their thinking, if it is that they are?
I think the problem is... go ahead, Mary.
Yeah. No, you can go ahead.
Well, the problem is, I think we pay too much attention to politicians. I think we should not listen to politicians in as much as we give them attention. I don't know, it's an African issue. If you look at in other continents, which are not as politically radicalized as Africa, you'll find out that the news are dominated by other things like sports, celebrities, business people. But in Africa, news is just politicians. So I think we should stop listening to politicians for a minute and then look inward to decide what we want as a country. Because I don't think people think critically about these things. People just say politicians will give you shortcuts to answers. No, they'll not give you a nuanced approach to things. For example, they'll tell you that when Van Riebeeck stepped into South Africa, everything went to shit. Sorry, am I allowed to speak French?
Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
To say when Van Riebeeck stepped into South Africa, everything went to shit. But that's not true. I mean, like, South Africa got its independence from 94. What have they been doing since 94? You know, like, there are things that a politician could do, but they choose not to do and choose to blame someone. When EFF allegedly loots VPS money, people will say Van Riebeeck. When there is mismanagement in state entities, SOEs, they say Van Riebeeck. When there is ethnical tensions, they say Van Riebeeck. But all these things are things that a politician could do to solve, but they choose to blame someone. So my point is, like, the solutions are not within the politicians. The solutions are more of, all right, I don't know where the solutions are. Yeah, I'm like Sway.
You don't have the answers.
I don't have the answers, but
they're definitely not in politicians.
Yes, I'm thinking maybe we should even have a cultural shift to say, instead of saying down this, passing at this, or let's dismantle whatever, we should think about let's build. What do we need to build as a country or as a continent in order to go forward? Instead of looking at things to dismantle, why don't we look for things to build? Because I don't think that looting will ever build anything. That's my 2 cents. I think it's now 3 cents.
Yeah. Miriam, the advice to my friends in South Africa. And I think what Mtokozi is saying, the first thing that he said is very positive. Don't dismantle, build. I'm like, wow, Mtokozi. I wonder if these people to look at your Twitter timeline, they'd agree with you, because sometimes you're all about dismantling, but it's fine. We might talk about that. Miriam.
I would say, I mean, it might seem obvious to a lot of people that the actions that we make today affect the future that we have. It's a common saying, one knows it, but in the thick of things, when things happen and when opportunities arise to get something that you haven't worked for come along, some people just have that basic instinct to just do what's happening in that moment. And I would say that whatever action we have today, we should think about how it's going to affect us in the future. We know that SA, like a lot of countries, are poor from SA, and people are like looting warehouses. People even went as far as looting, like, in the harbors and whatnot. And that's going to have like a ripple effect, not even in the next year, like be in the next months to come as well. And that then goes back to those people in the grassroots level, even goes back to like all the establishments that were burned down, all that unemployment. Already SA, they're crying, oh, unemployment. But imagine all those buildings that were burned down, all the businesses that were destroyed. Who's like, no one, the people who are working already aren't going to have their jobs back for like the longest time because of all of that. So my advice would just be like, think before you act. Just what I'm doing today, how is it going to affect me tomorrow? Is it going to be for the good? Is it going to be for the bad? You know, so yeah, that's what I would say.
Can I jump in?
Yeah. Okay.
So I think I wanted to say this. Just to say, my two biggest thinkings, my systems of thinking, number one are institutions, number two is culture. Institutions, as in, most governments are looking for quick wins, especially in Africa, to say, we're going to make a tender to do this, to build a dam. Even a teapot country somewhere will tell you, let's focus on agriculture, whilst agriculture is less than 10% of the GDP. You know, those quick wins where things that we can post on Twitter, things that we can write on newspapers. But what we need to do is to strengthen institutions, whether it is judiciary, is it the executive, is it the parliament, is it state-owned enterprises, all those institutions should be strengthened. Like, in terms of what should they be strengthened by? By having capable leadership in terms of competency, remove all the corruptions and stuff like that. and respond to the allegations of corruption. In some countries, people get ashamed when they are said to be corrupt, but in Africa, people get promoted. On the second part is on culture. So I don't believe looting is an economic issue, especially at local levels. I think looting is a moral issue. And I understand how economics affect morals. But do you think in the whole of South Africa, KZN and Gauteng are the only provinces with poor people? Why other communities there were other people who literally protect their malls instead of looting the malls? It's the same people, same number of people, same South Africa. I mean, sometimes we as individuals are corrupt. When we are corrupt as individuals, we call it connections. But when government officials are corrupt, we call it corruption. So I think we should also look inward to say, what sort of people do you want to become as Africa? Instead of blaming the government, we should blame the government.
I am mind blown by the political and social economic evaluation eloquence that both of you are exhibiting here. And I agree with most of what you're saying, but the only pushback I have is people are not dumb. I feel like much as we're saying, yo, don't you know that if you loot this shop, you're going to need to shop in it tomorrow. But someone will just as much as say, you know what, when the seven guys went to sabotage whatever they needed to sabotage in Chinoy, they were going to destroy things, but for a good cause. And maybe that's where their mind is at, right? Where they're like, yeah, we know we're looting, but this is the only way we can send the message. I'm not defending them. I'm just saying maybe sometimes we think people are dumb, but they aren't, right?
But looting is no political strategy.
That's what we think, though. Like, I feel like that's what you think. It might not have been a political strategy that they thought they were doing, but that was part of the whole political strategy by powers behind. I definitely think that there were certain powers and systems that like sparked something, knowing something was going to happen. Oh my gosh, I'm not being a conspiracy theorist, but we could go on, but then we should go on to the next segment, right? I feel like at the end of the day, I pray for South Africa, and I'm hoping that everyone is going to be okay, and what needs to be done to clean up the mess is going to be done. And the mess, I mean, first of all, poverty. Second of all, like, morals and everything. And I just realized I called the seven guys. I meant seven freedom fighters who basically started the second Chimurenga in our country. So my bad for that. So let's get to the next segment. I don't want to have a moral of the story is you make of it what you want to make of it as you are listening. And don't lose if it ever happens in Zimbabwe or anyway. Because as Miri said, you're going to need to use a shop. But one day, maybe there's some sense in it. Okay, let's get to hashtags and .coms. I don't know if I want to talk about Miri and her bougie self, or I want to talk about Mtogwazi's timeline Twitter without Skittles or Onyasha here. But we're going to figure that out in a second, all right, Miriam, what are we talking about today in hashtags and .coms? You bougie, well, rich, aristocrat, private school, tutored, book club going, English board game loving, Harare fancy hobby chick.
Listen, Onai, we are going to talk about my favorite game, which is 30 seconds for now until I find how, what do you mean? But yeah, it's a story for another day. So apparently a couple of weeks ago, there was a tweet by this girl who was saying that 30 seconds, okay, the gist of her tweet was that 30 seconds is a classist game where bougie people get to display their bouginess, and, you know, like when they sort of go, oh, how did you not get this in 30 seconds, you know? And I just think that people who say things like that are just bitter because they're not good at the game. And it's okay. It's okay to not be good at something. But you can't blame it on, you know, hey, you're bougie, so of course you would know that and I wouldn't, or something like that. So yeah, that was about 2 weeks ago.
So what you guys don't know is that it was one morning towards this, Mapin, where yeah. Miriam posted it up. Oh my gosh, people are getting emotional about 30 seconds, right? And wait. I want to get you into your feels first. And then Miriam says, you know, our people shouldn't just hide behind the fact that they're ignorant. Come on, man. Just read a book. That's what she said in the voice notes, right? Yo, I was like, hold on. This conversation was happening last night. I was on the phone talking to a lovely young lady.
Do you know that?
Now, here's my point against Miriam. First of all, it is very difficult for, it would, and okay, this is going to sound like an attack because I want it to sound like an attack. Miriam, please allow me. Safe space, right? Safe space?
Mm-hmm.
Miriam, you were not poor. I don't think you've ever been poor, right? And I asked Miriam this question. Hold on. I asked this question. Miriam, if you had grown up in the ghetto, in the hood, do you think you would have joined a book club as one of your hobbies? And I'm not saying people in the ghettos don't or grow
or
up
not.
In the hood. No. Let me finish. I think that 30 seconds in itself is not classist, right? But the way 30 seconds is set up, the way some of his questions are set up, you would have needed to have access to things that only rich people have, at least in our time when we're young, for you to understand those questions, especially the questions to do with movies. Like certain movies you couldn't watch just because you didn't have them. But people with television... Let me just finish this point, right? So people who had access to that type of information had access to it not because they were like, oh my gosh, not ignorant or intelligent or they used their will to want to read. No, they just had a television at home with DSTV. And this is the flip. How they knew?
On that basis,
30 seconds shows you the people who had and those who didn't have.
Can I say something?
No, it does not. It does not show you that.
People who play 30 seconds are not as smart as they think they are.
Yes, Miriam. Yes, they're not.
For example, if we give you a certain, it's like people say they're knowledgeable about politics or something like that. It's not like they are smart. It's just they have access to those conversations and they're interested in those things. People in the world don't have time to be interested about what's a crazy and whatever what that shit is. We have more pressing issues.
That proves my point.
So my point is, you saying people who can't play 30 seconds are bad at it, it's classist in itself.
Yes!
Because
I feel that Onai's standpoint in itself is classist because he's speaking on behalf of people. You're speaking on behalf of people who you're saying could go in the poor neighborhood. We had Mark. Listen, we had Mark. Onai, listen to me. We had Mark who was explaining how he grew up. And he's like, guys, I grew up like this. I went to the library and what, and I chose to look for this information. I came from a poor background. I chose to look for this information and I got it.
To which I argued, Mark, you actually had the privilege of a library that was 45 minutes away from your house. Yes, you had to walk, right? I get it. But some people don't even have that option, Miriam. Some people don't even have a library that they can walk to.
To which I said, Onai, Anditi, a lot of information is out there because of radio.
Miriam. Are we really going to say if you listen to a lot of radio, if you just had the opportunity, oh my gosh, if you listen to radio, then you'd be good at 30 seconds. Radio won't tell you how, like, oh, guys, my song. Like, come on, Miriam. Let's be honest.
You know what?
I
grew up in Cholocho.
Yes, tell us.
I went to a school called Basvisa Primary School in Cholocho. Like, we used to walk like 2-3 hours where I stayed in Basvisa. And none of us had shoes. None of us knew what our school uniform is supposed to be like because no one in our school had a uniform. You get the level of poverty in that area where it is normalized to be poor. How on earth will I ever find out all those answers of 30 seconds?
It's not like I'm not can I give you an example?
I'm a very inquisitive person. How would I know?
Can I give you an example?
I love this because I hate the fact that you grew up in such a circumstance, but I love the fact that you can display this, you know, history against Miriam. He's a real, real person who grew up without Miriam. Mark had a library. Mtoko didn't have shoes. What you got against that?
Yeah.
Right. Guys, the thing with 30 seconds is you've got to know your team members and it, right? So a clue could be something like X-Men. W, Y, Z, right? And giving them clues that are phonetically correct so that they get the answer. You guys are just hiding behind the finger.
No,
there's a way that you can
without
them using the knowledge that they have. So it's okay, guys.
Miriam,
just because you lost,
Miriam,
you can't...
No, Miriam, that's a cop-out.
How
would that's
you
a cop-out.
Also, how do you think a child from Kaino's X-Men in deep rural?
Yeah.
From where?
Guy, you don't even know Miriam.
I know, guys, the cards are flying around the X-Men. Cards would be written X-Men.
No,
but you're telling me you can't say
for you to wait for
guys, what is the third letter of the alphabet, and what are you?
I'm missing the whole point how the game is played. So, 30 seconds, you have to have a mental picture of what you are describing. In order to say X-Men, you have to know what X-Men is. It's not just phonetic clues.
Yeah, but if you don't know what X-Men is, do you not know? But Togo, you don't know what X-Men is, right? But you still want to get the point. You then have to give clues that allows your team members to know what the answer is, even though you don't know it.
Miriam, let's be honest. Whilst I understand your point where you say, okay, the first thing is dash, why is there? Someone says X and you say opposite of women and says men. Yeah, you win. But the game is no fun when you play like that. Let's be honest. Like, where you have to, like,
but
go
this
to...
Is the game.
No. It's usually more fun. Let's be honest, right? It's usually more fun when I can say, he stole, what's this girl's name? He stole, Jean's girl. I mean, he stole Cyclops' girl, right? And then someone says Wolverine. That's when it's more fun. Right? Or not could you have to be like dash why is it and then opposite of woman.
But
like,
then okay.
Yeah,
fine.
Come on.
Fine.
Like,
okay,
even though, right, you kind of need to have a mental picture of why those things make sense for it to come out really quickly. You would need to know
X-Men. But my point is my point when you were saying Kuti, would you be part of a book club today if you weren't if it weren't for your upbringing or if you weren't bougie or whatever, right? I think it depends on the person's interests, right? From when they're growing up, whatever. I told you in the chat that Indian Afri started really... I told you that I only started, like, reading books, like, probably from a couple of years ago till now, right? It wasn't really within me to do that, but it's something that I just found out it was pretty fun, it was cool, right? So before, if you had asked me, Kuti, or if a clue on the 30 seconds game was like Chimamanda Adichie, I wouldn't know who that is. And it's not because, you know, I've got the access to know who she is, but I just don't want to know who she is.
Come on, that Issa is beautiful. But I beg to you, the conversation.
The one where she was fighting back against the girl who, like, fought her.
That was a lot.
Yeah, like, yo. But my thing is, right, I will agree with Miriam that at this stage of the game, like, now that we're grown and stuff, you can be good at 30 seconds if you're, like, more open-minded and stuff, right? And I said, when I was in the UK, I played 30 seconds, their version, not the South African one that we usually play in Zim, the one that they play in the UK. Yeah. I am as open as Flip. Like, I think I'm open-minded. Yo, I was seeing flames. Because some of the stuff, the TV references were from BBC. Right? Like...
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? So the difference for me is I didn't have access to the BBC. So someone could say, oh, this game is Eurocentric. And that's true. It was Eurocentric.
Also, online, do you know the context is what? I think when people say this game is classist, it's true. It doesn't appeal to people who are poor in the hood. accept who are knowledgeable. So we can't say it's classes, people who don't want to play 32nd.
Are you sure?
And also, my point, like, people in Borodil are not planning to go and play soccer. What do you call it? Yes.
Football.
Like, because it doesn't appeal to them. But then who do enjoy that shit?
So I basically said
the game is classist in itself. I'm saying it appeals to different segments of society. And it's not like it looks down on anyone. The people, it's just different interests in life.
I just feel exactly. Like, I hear you, but I just feel like Miri disagreeing with the fact that someone has a point to say that this game totally exposes the haves and the have-nots to some degree. And she's saying that that's not true. I just feel
that people want to be outraged about every little thing.
No, I feel...
I don't know. They want to make themselves feel better. But I'm just saying, if you lose, guys, it's black and white. If you lost the 30 seconds, it's okay. We don't know everything.
Miriam wants to play 30 seconds without feeling guilty. That's the whole point. I'm going to keep it a bean.
She should.
But here's my thing, right? I just don't think... Gosh, I've lost my train of thought. I just don't think that it... Oh, I've lost it. Sorry. I can't believe I've lost it. Yeah.
So my point, I believe 30 seconds inherently is not a classist
game. It's not a classist game.
But when it is played, it is a classist game.
I just feel like we can't deny the fact that it shows you different classes in some of the categories that
you have. Yes, it does. That's what I'm saying. The game in itself.
I'm just saying that some people just know certain things and some people don't know certain things.
And some people, Miriam, don't know certain things because they were not exposed to them as kids because they did not have the access because they didn't have the money. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, but Onai, even people who have access don't know everything. That's what I'm trying to say.
Yes, but to a greater...
So it's not just because we need access. Access doesn't mean anything.
No, it doesn't mean anything. No, it means a lot. No. You cancel Miriam. Access is everything. Cancel it. Cancel Miriam. Cancel her. Cancel her.
Access doesn't mean anything because someone who has access can still be ignorant.
Yes, now those are the people who are ignorant. But you know what?
The difference between ignorance and
level. And someone who doesn't have access may still know things that
Let me give you an example.
Does not know.
You see, people usually go to these big platforms on scholarships and stuff like that.
Before you even go on.
Those people.
Go.
I know, not you and I. Other
people. I want to agree with you because that's the point I wanted to make. I think I made this point in the group. Mutogo is go and get her. Yes, continue.
My point is it's not like those people are more brilliant than others in that way.
Nope.
Those people just have access to information.
Simple.
So my point, access is everything.
Yes.
No matter how good you are, as long as you don't have access, it doesn't matter.
Simple.
So my point, when I might be good in 30 seconds because you have access, not because you were good in life. And there's someone who has way good, but they have no access. And you can beat them in 30 seconds on any day. So it just shows the game that exists in society. The game itself just shows the game. But I'm not saying the game is classism. I'm just saying the game appeals to different points. It does show the game.
Towards it has to be 10,000 times more intelligent to play with Miriam on 30 seconds. Miriam, who only started reading a few years ago. That's basically what I'm saying. You know what I mean?
I once read more than 200 books in a year.
Yeah, you know what I mean? 200 books in a year, Miriam, and you'll probably still trash me towards the 30 seconds.
Exactly. On any day.
Why? Just because you had DSTV as a kid and he didn't. He had
but not all the questions are about DSTV.
No, but that is true. But I'm saying that section and those particular categories within 30 seconds expose the things that you didn't have and you had just in your environment living. And for me, this is where some of these kids feel disenfranchised, or some of these young adults at games night feel disenfranchised when they play 30 seconds. Now, I will say, bruh. Here's where I agree with you. If you're feeling disenfranchised playing the game like that and you don't want to be...
Don't play the game!
Don't play it!
Listen, Onai, the people who play 30 seconds now, Don't tell me they don't have access. Don't tell me they don't have access to smartphones.
Yes.
And data.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, yes.
Yeah.
I agree with you.
Yeah. So what are you saying?
Miriam, I agree with you that now that you've got access, don't cry about it now. Like, if you want to win this game, because you've realized...
Don't try to impress the kids from Boruto.
Yeah. Play the game. All I'm just saying is that when Mtokozi is the first time he hangs out with Miriam and her bougie friends, and he did not know 30 seconds and he plays it for the first time, he's going to feel away, right? But next time he plays, he will know I have a lot of catching up to do, right? And all that. But I'm saying, let's not...
decide that when I meet Miri, I should not play 30 seconds.
I should not play 30 seconds. Stop complaining about this. Like, if you're not good at it, Miriam, I will swear, like, Miriam, let's be on two separate teams. I will beat you at 30 seconds. Again. Remember,
No. But Miri, let's play. Maybe if you get to play, do you know that millionaire game?
I would love to play that game.
I'll beat anyone in that game.
Yeah,
I know you'll probably beat me. I'd love to play that. I actually love trivia as well. So I'd love to play that. Yeah.
Maybe we can run a virtual games night. I wonder how that could work. A virtual games night on...
It's your house party or something.
Yeah, we could do that with some of the new gigs. I think we should do that on a virtual games day, like when we're all kind of like sad and bored. And yeah, I think we should do that. Anyway, I think, so Miriam, how would you close up this conversation between you and I? I'm giving you the honors because I feel like I was pretty mean to you too.
Yes, because like now you had Ntokozi to back you up.
Hell yeah.
Because your argument was weak in the group. And I didn't have anyone to back me up, so I was holding my own. But anyway, my final remarks are that 30 seconds, just like any other game, is just a game. Just because you're bad at it doesn't mean you have to blame other people for it.
That's what she said. I don't know. I don't believe it, though. It's cool. It's all good. Let's move on. I think we've exhausted people with the 30-second conversation. Let's get to the feelings. Oh. I don't know what's going to go into our feels today. Sorry, just so you know. So Mtokozi is going to have a new segment on this show, which is going to replace the feeling stations time and again. I don't want to do it today because I wanted another girl. There's input on it, but the one girl was
one of my favorite.
I'm not on mute. Oh my gosh. So she was supposed to join us, but she wasn't able to join us today. But she will probably join us the next time Togos is on, and we'll start his own special new segment. And he'll be kind enough to provide us content for that segment. But for now, let's get to the feeling station, which I actually don't know what we're going to talk about. We'll figure it out in a couple of seconds, right? Who wants to say welcome to the feeling station? Miriam Mtowa. Which one of you guys want to do it?
I'll say it.
Go.
Let me try like the Nyasha, like, you know. Welcome to the feeling station.
Mtowa, this is you. Miriam, please do it again.
Please do it again.
Okay. Welcome to the feeling station.
All right, thanks a lot. So now this
can open an OnlyFans for your voice.
I but Mtokozi's no. Stop trying to pimp out the noogie voices. This is the second person you're trying to pimp out. Like, jeez, stop it. Okay, so there was a conversation we had before the show started, right? I don't know if Mtokozi will be happy with me sharing. Like, I don't know.
No, it's okay. Go ahead.
Mtokozi said he bought this very expensive gift for this girl. I guess it was some sort of a talking stage with yours. This girl, this guy used a significant amount of his salary on this gift. And this girl went hard sharing the gift on social media. Oh my gosh, Mtokozi. No, this is the gift. But here's the thing. She did not tag Mtokozi. So she just got, of which she had told Mtokozi it was actually towards Valentine's Day. And she was like, yo, I'm going towards Valentine's. I don't got no one to buy this Valentine's gift for me. And Mtokozi fell for that bait. And he bought this really expensive gift. And she started posting it everywhere. But she didn't tag him. Now, Miriam
maybe we should Maybe we should just record the segment.
Right? So Miriam said, well, she wasn't supposed to. Miriam said?
I said, well, she wasn't obliged to tag him in the present because, like, they weren't officially a thing. One, and two, it's not like you give someone a present to be tagged on social media. So Mto should have, like, dwindled down his expectations when he gave her the present. Because no. Once it's hers, she can do whatever she wants. She can tag him. She doesn't have to tag him. It's her thing.
No, he's my thing, guys. I've reclaimed
but my... But wait. But did she say thank you to you, Mto?
Yeah,
like, personally, Did she actually call or message him?
I'm not gonna lie.
Literally 2 words.
Thank you.
I'm still touched.
I'm
re hurt. No, here's my thing, right?
Here's my thing.
Yeah. If I get you a gift, and it's good enough for you to post online, right? Yeah. And I'm not a person who's got another girl or one of those missions. You better post that you got it from me. You better tag that thing. People need to know who's sacrificing their man.
Do you know what?
Because I feel like, you know.
I do not mind being tagged, even as a friend, to say a friend of mine got this.
Oh.
But just tag me. You can't pretend as if you're in love with someone and say,
look what I got
for Valentine, but I'm not even tagged. Like, now you wanna.
So she didn't. She didn't even stay with a friend of mine. She just said, "Oh, look what I got for Valentine's."
Yeah.
Ah.
Yeah. Okay. So I guess the question
is, someone who always tags some other peeps when she gets something, or when she, you know those girls who always post something on statuses to say what I'm eating for lunch, what that type of vibe.
And she didn't
always be like. Yeah. Also, do you know? There's a friend of mine. Oh, I hope I won't give enough details to expose it. But she was in the area, and she was like, so I'm like, oh, we're in the area. I'm excited to see you. Can you go out for lunch? Sure, we'll go out for lunch. And she brings her other friends for lunch.
Wow.
Now that's trash. Now that is unfair. Yeah.
I didn't mind that, but she literally posted that on her Instagram stories and tagged the other two friends and didn't tag me.
Wow.
Can you tell me why, and when is it okay for you to bring your friend over to a date where you're, I mean, you don't have a boyfriend anymore, you got a whole husband now, but why is it y'all sometimes just show up with a whole other chick to a dude? What's happening there?
I feel like it's just a matter of courtesy. Like, I don't know. Like, you know, if you're going to bring your friends, I'm with my friends. So if you don't mind, I'll be with Ningi Nani, or I'll be with Ningi before the date. So that the person be like, no, maybe we can reschedule. Instead of just bombarding a person there and be like, surprise, there are three of us, instead of just me, you know.
Do you know what becomes weird is especially if
girlfriend is not going to pay for other two friends or going to go Dutch with the whole meal arrangement thing. I think it's really rude.
But you know what's also rude is what? It's like,
sorry?
Now, what's also rude is now you have two other of your friends whom you know, and I'm the only one who's not known in the group. So it's now a groupie, and I'm the only one outside the group. So...
Nah, that's
a weird thing. I'm
okay with that.
For you guys to help.
Now you're just third wheeling. You're just like fifth wheeling.
Yeah.
I'm not okay with the bill. Yeah. Like, but how do I?
Hey, bigger vibes.
I'm not okay with the bill. Like, here's the thing, Miriam. Now, like, you have asked me, your dude, like, hypothetically speaking, you have asked your dude, right? Like, to be like, yo,
yeah.
I'm with my friends. Are you expecting him to say yes? Because if I'm the dude, I'm now feeling away, like, now I can't even say no. You know what I mean?
Well, you can always, he has an opportunity to say, let's rain check for another day, because clearly you're already busy with your friends. So you won't have that attention. To, actually, guys should be smart, right? Like, obviously, because they're with their friends, they want to use the friends as a buffer. Maybe it might indicate that she's not that into you, so she needs like that extra support to be there with, to be there with her. But I feel as the guy, maybe they should, they just take a rain check and be like, ah, you're having fun with your friends. Don't think I'll fit in with the vibes. So we'll meet next time. It's okay. No feelings are hurt. And, you know, it's okay. Then you meet next time. That's what I think.
But also, I once broke up with someone for being too, for making our relationship a group thing. So it was more of, I'm trying to meet you and your friends. I'm like, hey, we're hungry and what. I'm like, no,
yeah, bruh, like, nah. If you're
I don't even know you. I never asked you out, so
I don't even care. If your first line's to me, whether you are joking, okay, I was just about to out someone who I wrote off just because of their first lines, and I feel like they'll listen to this podcast, so I'm not gonna say it.
outed a lot of people. Why?
Nah. Okay. Let me just say, don't ever say, ish, I feel so bad. Don't ever say.
Go ahead. But I.
No, I feel bad. I feel like. Don't be a Harare girl about it. You know what I mean? Like, oh my gosh, when are you gonna do that and that? Like, no, have better conversation. But I want to go back to the original. I want to go back to the original thing. So about tagging presents. Do you guys want your presents posted online? Is it a thing? Like Miriam, I know you make gifts for people, right? And you've made a gift.
Yeah.
You have made a gift that I gave to someone. I was not tagged online. I saw a whole bunch of other gifts that she got, that she put online. Not mine. I felt like mine was unique. Mine didn't go up.
Exactly.
I'm so salty. Should I have expected a... Am I wrong for, like, she gave out... She showed gifts to everyone else, but I didn't get... My gift wasn't posted up. Am I entitled to that? Am I crazy?
I'm still behind the fact that, like, once you give a person a gift, like, you have no control over it. What they do with it, it's now theirs. So they can choose to do whatever they want with it. And once you accept that, it's okay. Like, you don't have to get social recognition. As long as they show you gratitude, either calling, texting, or just, you know, saying thank you. Oh, thank you for the gift. Oh, so sweet. Or that was so thoughtful or whatever to you. I feel that should be enough. It doesn't have to be displayed on social media, even if they have displayed other presents. It's just, yeah, it's now chaching cha kesha. It's not entitlement. Because if you're now then giving people gifts just to be, hey, Onai gave me this gift, then you're not doing it for the right reason. You're not just doing it for clout.
What if it isn't like
a gift, an investment in a relationship? Because to me, I think most of the time, relationships should be invested in some ways. Like calling people, checking up on people, that's investment. So in all investment, you want to see a return on investment.
Yes!
So...
I don't know.
So you're saying a return on investment is recognition on social media? Is that what you're saying?
I'm saying it could be. What if social media is my love language? What if affirmation on social media is my love language?
Also, it should be on brand with the person. If the person's brand is to say, write statuses on WhatsApp. They should write statuses about my gift.
Wait. Sorry. Onai, you were saying, what if my love language is affirmation through social media, but what if their love language is not even gifts and you're busy showering with
this gifts? This is what I'm...
This is not about them. Listen. I'm saying, yes, what if their love language is not gifts? I was wrong, but my love language is affirmations. Two wrongs don't make a right.
No, but one eye.
I was going to burn you, but I'm beyond that now. I'm grown now.
Get away.
I'm going to burn so bad.
Nah.
But it's okay. I'm grown.
You don't know how to blog anymore. Get out of here. Miriam lost a touch ever since she fell in love. A Chadi.
Wow.
I really do miss the bits of banter, though. I miss it.
I'm sorry. I'll get it back. It will come back. It'll reincarnate as something else.
Okay.
But but you giving someone a gift, it's not about you, and it's about them. So whatever they decide to do.
No, I think I'm missing the conversation. The conversation is we understand this person's brand.
Yes.
Saying this person's brand is to go on live to say, oh, this week I got something. So there are some people who are always on live, if you know that. Then there are some people always on Twitter. And then there are some people always what if they have posted like literally hundreds of gifts from other people? Lunches, birthday gifts.
It's
but they choose not to post yours.
It's like this.
Okay, well, it shows you two things. It shows you something because that's already an anomaly in their pattern, right? It either shows you, which you're really special and like they don't want to jinx something, or it shows you that they're just not into you. Then you just take hints and you keep it moving.
It's already
a signal.
I took my L and kept it moving.
You take your L and you move.
I took my L and kept it moving.
Yeah, I took my L and kept it moving.
I'm not good enough. Because you know what?
L and move.
No, I'm too good for them. Not good even. I'm the prize.
Nah.
I'm good.
Nah.
Trust me. Yeah,
I don't like you.
Everything.
There is nothing that sucks as much as rejection, guys.
No. Sometimes, Onai, how would you love sushi if you've never tasted sushi? Probably they've never met someone like me, so they couldn't.
No, it almost feels like they just looked at you and like, I would never eat
that. I'm delusional, I know, and it's good delusion.
Oh my gosh. Anyway, like at the end of the day, I'm just out here just be cracking jokes. I totally agree with Miriam that when I didn't until she said it, that when your gift goes, it goes, and all that other stuff. And some people are more private. And like Mtoko said, like, you know, if it's on brand, like, if let's say I dated a lovely young lady like Mboma Hawks, right, for an example, right? And she didn't post me out on social media when we hung out, I'd kind of feel special, like she's trying to hide me from the world. You know what I mean? Like, she's trying to...
You see, that's what I'm saying.
I feel special, like, you know, like, I'm not for the gram. But at least I'd like to, like maybe a finger. Like, she can just show me, like, a finger, like, our hands together and people can see like our fingers, maybe not my face, you know what I mean? So that I know, like, you know, so that any other guy who sees it knows that these are not my hands, but I will know that these are my hands. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, I don't mind like small little signs like that, but it is what it is, man. Like, you know, if you don't date a person who puts stuff up online, then on the good days where you have done something amazing for them, you'll feel bad because they're not posting you. But I'm sure you'll be super happy about it when she doesn't post about your fights. So, you know, so that'll be like a good thing. We've come to the end of our show, guys. I'd like to find out, like, where can people get you, Mtoko Zisiba Ben?
I'm now rebranding. So I wanted to refer people to my Twitter, but my Twitter, I want to make it more professional now because I'm getting old and I need some bag.
Okay.
So maybe you can go to mtho.net, mtho.net, mtho.net. It's my personal blog. Or if you want a website, you go to amahappenings.com. Any purchase will sponsor this show, some smulanyana fees.
Oh, thank you very much, Tuka. I really appreciate it.
Tell us that you're coming from this episode, this podcast.
All right. Yes. And then Miriam, you might as well, you know, give us donations as well. Where can people find you, Miriam?
Well, people can find me on Facebook. Can I plug Cacao and Cakes?
Yes, Miriam.
Oh, okay, great. Actually, So on Facebook, Cup Town Cakes, Instagram, Cup Town Cakes, and Twitter, Miri_Nyakutsuka or Cup Town, Miri Cup Town. Yes, it's Miri Cup Town.
And Miriam has not missed, only that I have. So like she has given me, provided gifts that I've sent to people and none of it worked, but thank God it didn't work, I guess.
No.
But the gifts were amazing though. The gifts were amazing. The gifts worked. The relationships just didn't. I'm on online, all social media platforms, NayoNayoPod on Twitter, Instagram. And thank you so much for listening to the show. You guys have a lovely week. And yeah, shout out to you.
And now, Capital 263.